Good morning. All right. So, you know, the last couple times I spoke, I think I told some dad jokes and they kind of flopped. So I'm just not sure about the joke factor. You know, when you get started, it's nice to start with something funny, right? So I'll just do one quick joke, okay? And then we'll move on and we'll see how it goes over today. So I'm always sad that the kids leave because I think they enjoy my stuff more than adults. But all right, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Smell mop.
Smell mop who?
Smell my poo.
Took you a while to get it, didn't ya? You all are going to be stuck on that now the whole time, aren't you? You won't hear a word I say now. All right, we'll pray. Dear Lord, please help us get past that. We'll pray now that nobody would be smelling my poo. All right. Thank you, Lord, for this time we have today, that we can have fun together, and that you are here with us. And all around us, before us, beside us, behind us, all around us, with us every moment of every day. And we just take this time, Lord, and open our hearts to you. Father, please speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this year has been an interesting year for me. And I had waged a war, not a war, I had gone on campaign towards my mother. I really had felt that she needed to be in a elderly living apartment. And they, her and her husband, her, my stepdad, were in a small apartment, but it just, you know, there wasn't like any care or anything like that. We're kind of looking towards moving toward assisted living. But I was on my mom's case, right? And I said, I'm going to come down to Ottumwa and we're going to go visit a place and we're going to see it. And she lives in Ottumwa. And so I took them, I went down there and took them, and I'm like, oh, it's beautiful, right? It's wonderful. And I was just on this, you know, on this campaign to get my mom moved because I wanted her in a safe place that has, you know, has people looking out for them. And since I'm a ways away, and I'm actually the youngest of nine, and most of us do not live in Ottumwa. So anyway, I was on this campaign, right? And I was like, we're doing it. And my sisters, some of them were on board, some of them weren't, you know, some of them weren't sure. And I was like, we're moving, mom. We're moving her this spring, summer, late spring, early summer, I kept saying. And my mom was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And I'm like, mom, you, and I would lay out all the things, the great things about the move and how great, you know, it would be for them and all this stuff. And I have I call it the sister line. I have a text line with my sisters and we'd go back and forth and I'd be like, well, we got to do it for this reason and this reason, this reason. Some people are like, let's just let mom decide. Let's just pray about it. I'm like, it's got to happen, you know, and I'm like pushing it. Well, anyway, one of my sisters on the text line one day said that she had been, you know, praying about the situation and about, you know, just spending time with God. And she felt like God gave her the words, glance at your problems and gaze on Jesus. And so I was like reading that and I was like, yeah, on my high horse, you know, like we got to move mom, you know. But I read that and I was like, glance at the problem and gaze on Jesus. And so it kind of stuck with me. It was kind of, you know, like in the background. By the way, we did get my mom moved over Memorial Day weekend. Woo woo. But I won't, you know, toot my horn too loud. But anyway, those words stuck with me. And then I work for Mercy, which is a Catholic organization. So often before meetings, there's a reflection with scripture. And so there was a scripture that was read one day that jumped out on me. And I don't know if this ever happens to you, but sometimes you can read the word and you'd read over it and it's just, it's great, it's wonderful. But sometimes you read a scripture and it's like God is like shouting with a loud horn, you know, like the scripture, and you're just like, whoa, right? So they read very simple scripture, Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And so I have no idea what the meeting was about that day because I was stuck on that scripture. Sorry, Mercy. Right? So they started it, right? They read the scripture. So I thought, okay, let's find out what other translations say, because that's always fun to see what the Bible says in other translations on that scripture. It was just kind of like, again, you know, glance at your problems, gaze on Jesus, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. How can you be constant in prayer? And so the Passion Translation says, let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. So constant in prayer in the Passion Translation was to commune with God at all times. So I'm like, commune, like we take communion, but what is commune, right? And so commune is the sharing or exchange of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. The sharing or exchange of intimate thoughts or feelings. Like, we don't share and exchange intimate thoughts or feelings with everyone, right? Let's hope not. Some people overshare, Ralston, but, you know, not everybody does.
Why are you going to call me?
So intimacy, intimate thoughts and feelings. So intimacy is kind of like a word that makes me want to squirm a little bit. Intimacy is close familiarity or friendship, a closeness, a private, cozy atmosphere. That doesn't feel like squirming, does it? That's like a private, you're just comfortable with that person. And not in a like unhealthy way, but just a close, loving relationship. So we've heard Poppy and Mimi say often, intimacy is into me see, right? You are, it's like your true self. You're sharing your true heart with others. And, you know, God wants us to share our true heart with him. And so I was thinking about this intimacy, you know, and I remember when I was at Bible school, there was a professor, Doug Jones, and he would be teaching, right? And here I was like 18 years old when I was at Bible school. Like, I didn't know anything, you know, but I remember watching him teach, and he was teaching on something, and righteousness. Yeah, that was all his class was on, righteousness. And so, you know, I'm like, you know, at 18 years old, righteousness, what does that even mean, right? And so, but I remember watching him teach, and he would be teaching, and he was so passionate. And I was probably 100 times during his class, he would be sharing, and he'd be like, thank you. And he would share something else, and thank you, thank you. And he would keep sharing, and I was like, who's he thanking? God. Okay, come on, help me out here. So he was, as he shared, it was like this continual, he was communing with God as he was sharing. It was like he was getting, you know, God was dropping these things in his spirit, and he was like, thank you, yeah, great point. And he would share it, right? And his class was amazing, and you could feel like his heart, God's heart, and it was just cool. And I was 18 going, that's kind of cool. Like, how do you work that, right? Another example of seeing that close communion is Brother Hagin, which was Kenneth E. Hagin, I believe, who started Rhema Bible College. And so I remember being in a class of his once, and there was like 1,000 people in class, and we're all sitting there, and he's teaching, and he is like, you know, probably 70s years old. He was pretty old at that time. So it wasn't much longer after that. Maybe 10 years later was when he passed. But he's in class, and he's teaching, and I mean, there's just, you know, very awe-inspiring, right? This is like a man of God who was, you know, he was healed when he was 17 in a bedridden state, healed, God miraculously healed him, and, you know, and then he went on and had this amazing ministry. So he's teaching in class, and I'm sitting there, you know, watching, and all of a sudden he stops. He stops teaching, and he starts praying in tongues, and he just, like, backs away from everything, and he's praying, and we're all sitting there, like, staring at him, like, well, what are we doing here? Where are we going with this, right? And he starts praying, and then he starts, you know, praising God with his words and thanking God and praying in English. And then he comes back, and I'm not kidding. This was like minutes long. You know, 60 seconds is a long time when you're all going. So minutes later, he steps forward and he said, God just showed me I needed to pray for this person who was like states away about a specific problem right now. He was communing with God. He had that continual communion, that continual intimacy with God to have that check in his spirit, back away from what he was doing and focus on something that God asked him to. How cool is that? Like, what type of communing intimacy level is that? I want some of that. Like, I do. I think it would be so cool to just like, and you know, I probably have more of it than I realize, but anyway, sometimes I think that, you know, when we come into church, we kind of are oftentimes on autopilot, right? So we are here in church where we have worship going on and we're singing. I don't know what you all are doing. So I'm singing the songs, right? And yet underneath, what's really going on is I'm worried about my kids because they're making decisions and doing things that I don't like. I'm worried about, you know, I'm frustrated with other people in my family, maybe. There's all this stuff going on under here, and I'm singing, Lord bless you and keep you. Oh my gosh, I've got so much work to do at home. Oh my gosh, how many, that bill that just came in, and I was not expecting that $1,000 bill, right? There's all this stuff. How many, am I the only one? Okay, so we, at that point in our, me, at that point in life, I am not communing with God, am I? I'm singing the songs, right? I'm saying the words, but how much power is in those words? How much power? There is a life force in everything we do. And we can give that life force everything we have, or we can surface everything. I don't know about you guys, but I want to live a life that has power behind it. That is, the life force is here, not down here. Everyone can feel it. Everyone can feel when I'm not present, I think. Okay, I can feel when you're not present, right? Like, I know it, you're not being, like, present with me, intimate. Not necessarily we, I all have to be intimate with one another, right? But to be fully present. Can you, I mean, they say, like, body language is, what, 85% of communication? So here's just the thought of, you know, the words, I love you. So, Jenny, when I say, I love you, what am I saying? What about when I say, I love you?
Then I think you might be mad.
Okay, well, I was thinking excitement, super joy, hyper, like, you just gave me something. I don't know. There's all middle ground. Like, but, you know, the present, being fully present is looking in her eyes and saying, Jenny, I love you. Right? And how many times am I not fully present? When we bring that up and we are fully present, there's a congruence between our words and our feelings and our thoughts and emotions. There's life force there. Right? So Isaiah 59:21 in the NIV says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you. And my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children, on the lips of their descendants from this time on and forevermore, says the Lord. So sometimes we think maybe prayer or worship, like, maybe we don't know what to say, but God says he'll put those words in our mouth. They'll be on our lips, right? And you know what? We commune with God. We have that intimacy level. Praise and worship is an amazing time for us to enter into that intimacy level with God. A lot of times when we are singing songs, I won't sing the words up there. I personalize it. You know, like, the Lord bless you and keep you. I sing, Lord bless me, keep me. Right? And when I turn that in, and there's that communion, there's that intimacy level, and that's when I sense God's presence. That's when I am fully present with him, right? And it gives him the opportunity to bless me for his presence, to experience his presence. So praise and worship is the opportunity to speak from our heart, to bring that, what's in here, up to that intimate level with God, right? And when we praise, we declare and proclaim that who God is and his power, and we also declare who we are in him. And it brings us, praise brings us into an intimate space with God. Hebrews 13:15 says in the Amplified, through him, therefore, let us at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Again, God's going to put those words on our lips. Let us offer a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of, I can't spit it out today, which is the fruit of our lips, and thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. So we hear that, and it says, let us offer a sacrifice of praise. And in our American culture, we think a sacrifice is like giving up something. It's hard, right? But when the Bible was written, what was the sacrifice? But that sacrifice was without blemish. It was holy. It was pure, right? Who is our sacrifice? Jesus. When we step into this holy communion with God and we allow Jesus to be the sacrifice, it is easy. That sacrifice isn't so difficult anymore. We step into a spirit of ease with Jesus. He was the sacrifice, and God's words are on our lips, can be on our lips at that time. So it's not something that is difficult. That sacrifice isn't laborious, but the fruit of our lips, right? We allow God to put praise in our mouth by opening our lips during worship. And worship invites God's presence. I think last week, I think maybe I shared it, that God inhabits the praise of his people. Wow. I mean, how many times have I come into church and God is inhabiting the praise and I'm not there? And I've seen other people, like, God is just, I see God moving in other people and I don't feel it. Is it because I'm not fully present? Is it because I'm gazing on my problems and glancing at Jesus? Psalms 100 says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness and delight. Come before his presence with joyful singing. Know and fully recognize with gratitude that God himself is, the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Into his gates with a song of thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, bless and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy and loving kindness are everlasting. His faithfulness endures to all generations. I think God wants us to praise him. I think there's a call and there's an anointing in praise and thanksgiving before God. So, Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Psalms 34:1, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always, again, be on my lips. God puts those words in our hearts and our mouths, and it's our job to allow it to come out of our lips, right? How many times, I don't know, this is another question for you here, but I will go home after a great service on Sunday, and all week long, I'll wake up like in the morning, and the song that we had sung on Sunday is like in my heart. I wake up with that music in my mind, in my heart. You know what? That's a call. It's a call from God for communion, for worship, to praise him. And what a great opportunity when we come here and we sing these songs so that God can put those words in our heart to come out our lips, right? What an amazing thing. And, you know, often also Psalms 96:1 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. A new song. I love it when Jenny, and during worship, enters into that new song. We see that anointing fall and a new song begins to come forth out of her lips because she's fully present in that moment, right? And the anointing is there. Life is there. Jesus is the way, truth, and the life. Life is there. So the benefits to us, you know, is that when we praise God, it refreshes our soul and it brings rest. So Hebrews 4:11 says, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves." King James Version of that says, "Labor to enter that rest." So it's really in that scripture talking about the rest of the Sabbath. But you know what? When we bring our problems, when we are glancing at the problems but gazing on Jesus, we can enter into his rest always, not just on the Sabbath, right? And it says to labor there. And I've kind of been chewing on that scripture, like, it's not easy to focus. I mean, I have to refocus. I remember Jack Frost, when he was here, he said he had a timer on his watch that went off like every 2 minutes or something as a reminder of, where's your mind? Where are you thinking on? Where's your focus? Are you gazing on the problem? Are you glancing at the problem? Are you gazing on Jesus? That reminder to enter into his rest, it's work. It doesn't come just willy-nilly, right? Okay, so where are we? Matthew, in the Message, 11:28-30 says, "Are you tired? Boy, have I been tired and worn out in the last couple years." Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? "Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." You know, when we are gazing on Jesus, we can live freely and lightly in life. We can walk through it. And some of us have some big problems. But you know what? When we are gazing on Jesus, those problems aren't the forefront in our minds, in our lives, and we know that we're going to walk through those problems, and because we can trust the one who is giving us the peace. So the last point is that praise allows God to fight our battles, and we sang that song today, which is so cool. In the scripture, Paul and Silas, it's Acts 16:22-26, I'm going to read. It says, "The crowd also joined in the attack against them." They're out preaching the good news, and the crowd is attacking them, right? "And the chief magistrates tore the robes off them and ordered Paul and Silas to be beaten with rods." Kind of a bad day. "Please don't hit me." "After striking them many times," ouch, probably a little blood involved, "with rods, they threw him into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely." I'm thinking the jailer's a little nervous, because it says he received such a strict command, threw them into the inner prison, the dungeon, and fastened their feet in the stocks in an agonizing position. So the pressure was on him, so he put the pressure on them, right? I think at this point, I'm in jail in an agonizing position. I am going to be complaining. I am going to be saying, "God, I was doing what you told me to do, and look where I am. You weren't with me. You left me. Why did you do this? Why am I here?" That's me. I'm telling on myself here. Thank God I'm not Paul. But about midnight, when Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, wait a minute, you're in jail, you're in an agonizing position, you were beaten, you're hurting. I tell you what, I can praise God, but when I'm sick, forget it. I'm going to bed. Don't talk to me, right? I don't want to praise God when I'm sick or hurting. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. How did they do that? Maybe God put the words on their lips. Thank you. And it says, "And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so powerful that the very foundation of the prison was shaken. And all at once, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened." When we praise God, he will fight our battles. But not only that, all of the prisoners at that point, it says, everyone's chains were unfastened. People can receive freedom through your praise. That's cool. All right, another one. God fights our battles. Army of Israel. All right, in the Old Testament, there's a lot of wars and battles, isn't there? Okay, so King Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20. We're going to read what he does. So it says here, early in the morning, they got up and left for the wilderness of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood up and he said, "Hear me, O people of Israel." So at this point, they are surrounded by an army that wants to kill them and take their land, right? This is real life here, guys. This is like, this is as good as it gets. "Hear me, O people of Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you will be upheld." These people are ready to kill us, to take our lives. Listen to me, believe in God. Listen to me, believe in God. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed. Then Jehoshaphat consulted with the people and appointed those who would sing to the Lord and praise the splendor of his holiness. And they went out before the army, they were singing. What? They sent the band in front of the soldiers? What? Okay, I'm not signing up for the band. Forget that. Like, hello, if you're in the army and you're in the band, you're thinking, whew, I don't have to fight, right? So he says, they put the band first. Okay, Jehoshaphat consulted with the people and appointed those who would sing to the Lord and praise the splendor of his holiness. As they went out before the army, they were singing. I don't know about you, but I might think about defecting at this point. Give thanks to God, for his loving devotion endures forever. We're thanking God when these guys are ready to kill us and take our land and kill our family. Oh, you know, it's one thing to come after me, but my family? The moment they begin their shouts and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So the gospel, the Bible says, is foolishness to those who don't believe. I think that sometimes praise can seem foolishness to me who does believe. But look at what God can do and has done. And I believe he will do by our praise, by my praise. Because when I come fully present in the middle of my problems that want to overtake me and knock me out, right? When I become fully present in that, God's power and his anointing can break the yoke every time. Every time. So, that's all I have for you today. I am just delighted we get to sing another song. And we can put our praise into practice.
I want to sing Great Big God, because I feel like we need a
We need a dancing time. Yep. Yep.
If somebody wants to go grab the kids for me.
Kids help us praise when they enter in. They do.